Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Rocket Radio. This is John Baker, and I welcome you in on another beautiful day here in Atlanta. It's going to be about 75, 80 degrees today, perfectly sunny. That storm that came through really gave us a nice break from the mid and upper 90s. So we're into fall officially here. And at Biz Rocket Radio, this is a show that has a chance to talk to and learn from executives and business owners here in the Atlanta area, get an understanding of what kind of experiences that they've had, challenges, successes, and learn from those, as well as learn a little bit about some of the businesses in the community. And today we've got a couple guests from Risa. And Risa is a soap manufacturer, and this is a company that's getting off the ground here in Atlanta. And we are excited to talk to the owners of the business, Brad and Marlis Cornett. And Brad, actually Marlis is the branding specialist, right, Marlis?
I guess I am. I have a background in product development and have spent a lot of time as a graphic designer and freelance artist. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun developing the brand and the logo and all the graphic elements go along with it.
Yeah, it looks great. She's got some soap in here. I've got a bar of soap. Looks like you'd see this in a hotel someplace or on the shelf of one of those mall places, you know? And then I've got the chief saponifier, Brad.
That's right.
I just learned what a saponifier is, and I think it's someone who makes soap.
That's right. So the actual term for making soap chemically is to saponify, hence the chief saponifier title.
All right. I like it. Now, do you have a, is it S-A?
S-A-P-O-N-I-F-I-E-R.
So oh, wow.
Pass my spelling bee for the day.
I was not even sure it was an S. I was just looking at going there. So you'd be a C-S-O.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Chief saponifier officer.
As well as chief washing of dishes and cleaning of pot.
Using the saponifier to wash the dishes.
That's right.
The saponify-e, I guess. Anyway, so maybe you guys could tell us a little bit of background. I know that Marlis, on the kind of graphic design part, the marketing, kind of the visual artistic side, and Brad, obviously, on the chemical side of things. Maybe a little bit of background on you guys.
Yeah, I'll start. So I actually have an undergraduate degree in chemistry from University of Colorado in Boulder, and then went and worked as a chemist for a little while, and then as a selling copiers, and then went to MBA school and got into the telecommunications business about 13 years ago or so, and made the decision this January to jump into manufacturing soap and detergent full time, and got the Risa brand started.
And help me, copiers to soap.
Copiers to soap.
Well, I mean, obviously the chemistry side, you've always had an interest there, but how did it get to soap?
Got to soap via a couple ways. First, Marlis and I have, you know, really believe in utilizing all natural products, kind of taking care of the environment, and I also secretly like to use good soap in the shower.
don't share that.
That's right. Well, sorry. That's as much shower detail as I'll share. And really how it got started is actually Marlis made homemade laundry detergent at home.
Really?
We were sitting around having a couple of glasses of wine one night saying, geez, if we're going to make all-natural homemade laundry detergent, what we really need to do is make all of the components of that. And one of the components of natural laundry detergent is soap. So we had to learn how to make soap. And that's really kind of how this whole thing got started.
Now, did you like make this in your basement or something? I mean, is this...
Absolutely. Kitchen, basement. We had soap literally stored all over the house to where you'd walk in and you're tripping over it.
You know, most great businesses, it's exactly how they're built. Yeah. Microsoft in the garage and, you know.
That's right. Well, one of the things to sell to some larger stores is they got to come inspect your facility, and I'm pretty sure our basement wasn't going to pass any production inspections.
So you went full time into this in January. How have things been since then?
Interesting. A lot of challenges that I wouldn't have expected. Kind of the typical best laid plans. We really spent a tremendous amount of time on the kind of building the brand and doing some kind of product development and experimentation that I'll let Marlis talk about here in just a sec. But we started making soap about a year and a half before we decided to kind of go ahead and do this full time. And we spent that time sending soap to friends, getting feedback, making sure they liked the scents, adjusting the products. You know, for instance, one of the things we did is we make a bar that has walnut husks in it to exfoliate the skin. So it's, you know, a little rough, help you slough off that dry skin.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, feedback we got was, hey, man, this thing's literally rubbing me raw. You know, come up with something else. And so we did it. And hence one of the things that you'll find on our packaging, one of the taglines is it's tested on friends, not animals. And that's exactly true.
It truly is. Yeah.
That is awesome. Now, do they get royalties on this stuff for being the test animals? Or
No,
they get nothing.
They got a couple of bars of soap and a little rash or something. I don't know.
And you get all that worked out.
That's right.
It's all squirrely. Before you went to market, more of the tough rubbing off your skin type thing.
That's exactly right. So, that was, I think, that period of kind of developing the product, refining the blends of essential oils and carrier oils that are in the soaps really helped us kind of launch with outstanding products.
Now, maybe you could share a little bit about some of the challenges that you didn't expect to see, because I know a lot of people out there have thought about stepping out on their own. I mean, maybe even this is very entrepreneurial in that it's a straight up product right out of your, made out of your kitchen. Other people maybe a little bit more, let's look at a franchise or something like that. But what are some of the challenges that you guys have found that have been most surprising to you? Marlis doesn't want to. She doesn't want to take that one.
Well,
Brad offered, but Marlis, no. You take this one.
I'll have Marlis talk about the process of kind of building the brand and the packaging, because that was something I knew was going to be important. Said, hey, if we want this stuff to jump off the shelves, we've got to have something that's pretty nice. And so I had planned to invest, a reasonable amount of time and capital in building that packaging, but I didn't anticipate it was going to take, about 7 months from start to finish, to actually come up with just the packaging for just 10, bars of soap.
Wow.
And so that was an unexpected challenge.
Is that in your experience, Marlis, is that because the devil's kind of in the details in this stuff? I mean, you get kind of the general idea, but then you're like, you send it to people and then, well, you should change this, or you're not quite happy with that. What took so long?
Yeah, I think it's partially that, but it was also we were just getting started in developing the soap and the different scents, and we were choosing what our, first line was going to be, how many scents did we want to develop.
Right.
And we decided that we really thought that each soap, truly needed its own package. And at the same time, it needed the cohesion. So we wanted to make sure we had our logo exactly as we wanted it. We wanted to not just have a bunch of different types of soap, but have them have cohesion. So we took time in developing the names and the properties and just really giving them a personality, because mm-hmm. each soap really is unique, and we wanted to make sure that was conveyed in the package. So, yeah, we took our time and definitely got feedback from friends. We had fun creating the taglines. Brad even got one of his college friends, Tom Simmons in Texas, teaches high school, and he got his Spanish class, was it?
Yeah, or to, his English class, I think.
To participate and come up with some, or, you know, we sent them about 12 or so taglines and asked them, you know, for their input, and they came up with some of their own, and it was just, it's just fun to get the feedback, and it all goes back to, you know, sort of how we are testing everything and learning as we go, but at the same time, we're having fun with it. Yeah. And I think it shows in our package, and it shows in our website and everything that we're doing with it.
So let's talk a little bit about the product itself, right? Tell me more about the environment. Obviously, the environmental piece of it was something that was kind of the crux of the whole concept. How's it different than other soaps that are maybe out there or that you might see in in Publix?
Well, number one, most of the soaps you'll see in Publix are not really soap. They're detergent bars or beauty bars. So, you know, soap is the salt of sodium hydroxide and an oil. There are components of oils called fatty acids. And so those two things get together and make real soap. Most of what you'll buy out there, you know, your Irish Spring or Lever 2000 or
yep.
what have you,
yep.
Detergent bars. So far as kind of the uniqueness within the natural segment, we believe that our soaps are better for a couple of reasons. First, kind of unique blends of essential oils in there that you're not going to find elsewhere. So they really stand out, kind of have some unique scents. Second, we use only the highest quality kind of input, so all natural ingredients, oil that you'd put on your salad, for instance. So yesterday, Marlis made us a little salad at the office for lunch, and we had to use some of the oils we actually are using in making the soap, because we forgot to bring the olive oil with us.
Not the actual soap itself.
No, just the oils that go into it. So we use high quality stuff.
Yeah.
And third, you know, particularly in the Atlanta and Georgia market, we really strongly believe in trying to, you know, to go local where we can, support small businesses. And one of the things that's unique to our offering here in Atlanta and the kind of surrounding Southeast is the fact that, hey, we make it here. It's part of the neighborhood.
And the eco-friendly part of it, is it just because things break down easier from a soap base versus the detergent kind of thing? I don't know anything about this stuff.
That's exactly right. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head there. There's no nasty byproducts. This stuff just breaks down, goes away in your wastewater. There's nothing, no bad stuff left behind. So that's it.
The Chattahoochee River will thank you.
Absolutely. So the river keepers, you know, I spent a lot of time as a boy and then, you know, as quote unquote man, doing some fishing out there. And so it's really important to me to be able to take my daughter B out there fishing in 10 years from now. And so I want to make sure we're doing what we can to keep that river clean.
Great. So Risa, where'd the name come from? What's the meaning behind that?
Well, Risa is actually Spanish for laugh or laughter. And even before we came up with the name Risa, we named our company Smile Soap and Detergent. And that actually came about almost immediately because it just embodied everything about it. Even before we turned it into a business, we were just having fun making soap. And I think as a designer and with my packaging experience, it was even the very first time I made the soap, I was already coming up with the name and what's the bottle going to look yeah. like and all that. And I think Brad came home that day and I had soap all over the kitchen. And I said, you know, I have a name, I have a tagline, I have it all, you know, ready to go. And Smile came out like right away. And so we named the company Smile Soap and Detergent, but we wanted to have a specific brand for the products. And we put a lot of thought into that too. It took us a lot of playing around with, you know, words and concepts, and we just kept going back to the idea of the emotion that, you know, we have fun making this soap. It's soap is just a good product, and everything that goes into it is about, you know, good, clean fun. And we kept going back to that, and that, you know, you can't not smile.
That's right. we're kind of trying to stay true to that, that kind of, hey, it's all about kind of positive emotions and, you know, doing things that are good for you, for your mind, your skin, and the earth. And so that is part of the good, clean fun. And obviously we're on radio, so it's a little tough to see, but Marlis did a great job on the on our logo design. That if you look, you'll notice there's a very subtle smile. down at the bottom of the logo.
Yep. Very cool. So if what is your, from a marketing perspective, where are you, who are you talking to? Who are the people that you think this would work well with?
So there are a couple of segments. You know, right now there's, I'd characterize kind of the natural product or green user adoption curve is we're still pretty early on that curve, to where, you know, you've got the hardcore green advocates, or what I'd call Boulderites, back to my days back at CU.
Yeah.
Those folks have been using natural products and will continue to use natural products. We're moving on to kind of the next phase as it relates to kind of more of the general population, and call it hipsters, you know, soccer moms going green, whatever you like. I think there's a long-term sustainable trend towards healthier living and kind of throwing back to the, you know, to the days of the age of our parents growing up, trying to do things that are good for you and good for those around you and the folks to come. And I think a key part of that is, as long as our the price points of natural products are reasonably close to you know, the other options, we're going to continue to see very rapid adoption to where, you know, this trend will only continue to more and more spending in the natural foods and body care business.
Are you looking at getting into any retail kind of markets of Bed Bath & Beyond or those kinds of places, or the big box stores, or what's the target there?
Yeah, so a couple of comments about the distribution strategy. First, we are trying to get into, you know, what I'd call local natural food stores, and one example of one that we're in here in Atlanta is Rainbow Natural Foods in Decatur. Another segment is just the boutique stores. A couple of examples of those were in some stores in Birmingham, for instance, called Amano and Lamb's Ears Limited. These are, you know, places that folks would go buy gifts and other things like that. A third segment, of course, is trying to get into the larger national natural food chains, and,
you know, Trader Joe's, that kind of thing.
Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, Fresh Market, the like. So that's another target. And then another is the hospitality segment. We believe that there is tremendous opportunity put our products in hotels and have these hotels help create unique guest experiences using our soaps, conditioners, shampoos, lotions, etc., to really, you know, help kind of bring this positive emotion of happiness into the guest experience there.
What is the what's the game plan that you have in terms of a vision 5 years from now? I mean, where will Risa be 5 years from now?
Well, we'll hopefully I don't know. I guess maybe we'll be spending, Marlis and I'll be spending more time at the lake, hopefully by then. But
that's right. You guys can come up to Lakewood Alley.
That's right.
Okay, on your way to Lake Martin with your buddy, stop by Lakewood Alley, and we'll take care of you, teach you the wakeboarding and the water skiing, make sure your little girl knows how to rip it up pretty good.
That's right. And we'll leave you some soap.
Hey, that's a good deal.
In the process. But
and I can use the soap in the lake.
Absolutely. You can use it in the lake.
You can.
See, that's what I like to hear.
Yeah. It's just like that, you know, that green camping gel soap stuff. You can use this stuff instead. We anticipate kind of having Risa in more stores here locally. Anticipate it being carried nationally in some of these natural food chains, as well as we're continually expanding our product lines. So we're doing bar soaps, we're doing liquid soaps, we're doing shampoos, conditioners, lotions, and one really interesting one that Marlis came up with is. We kind of figured out by accident by leaving some bars of soap in the car, and it's to do air freshener. So no more hanging pine trees up from your rearview mirror, John. You're going to be using Risa soap in a little satchel.
You put the little soap in there and just let it bake in the 120 degree car and liquefied Risa.
Exactly. Right? You're in good shape. You're in good shape. But no, we continually expand the product lines. You know, our focus right now is, and I'm a true believer in kind of trying to focus on just a couple of things that you can do well getting started. And we've been spending virtually all of our time on the bar soap. The other really big, interesting one is detergent. So natural laundry detergent, and we're actually doing something pretty unique there with our distribution model, which is, might be slightly dating myself, but for those of us that had Charles chips delivered to our houses when we were kids, we're trying to follow the similar model for detergent and offer local delivery of kind of refillable detergent bottles.
Nice. Now, what about online? Is this stuff, do you guys have a website people can order this on? Can it be delivered to them, or do they have to find a store that they're going to have it?
Some of both. So we definitely have an online shop. You can order and have it shipped to you, or you can do some local pickup, or you can participate in our kind of monthly recurring delivery of detergent, and we'll throw in some soap.
Pop a little soap in on the delivery van.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do it on bike, at least in my neighborhood. So we'll see how that goes.
Hire a couple kids like the paper route.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
The paper route now is a car. Yeah. Unfortunately, right? You know, it's interesting. I just picked up one of the packages. I would imagine the bubbles, which are actually see-through, is all about the smell, right?
Right. When we were working on the package design, we really wanted, of course, the soap to stand out when it's on a shelf or in a store, and to be protected. So we wanted a box, but we wanted people to also be able to see and smell the soap.
Yeah.
And that's where we came up with this particular design has a flow of bubbles going across, and some of the bubbles are die cut so that you can actually see the soap and smell it. And it also just has a nice visual appeal, but it's kind of when we were developing our brand and our logo, we took the time and really developed all the key elements and the graphics that we were going to use so that we'll have cohesion throughout all of the products. So the bubbles, the logo, the taglines, everything will have sort of a similar feel. So it'll be recognizable when somebody sees our product.
Yeah, no doubt, and the smells are amazing. Alan, did you smell these? You got to check them out. Here, this is Alan, my producer.
I was going to ask you if I could take one home, John.
No, you can't. These are mine. These are mine. My wife wants these.
I probably have some more in the car.
You think? Are they liquefying and turning into?
No, it doesn't liquefy.
They hold up.
I like sparkle. That's
yeah,
nice.
They hold up well. Sparkles, lemongrass, and rosemary. It's got some cocoa butter and. I like to mispronounce it, so I'm going to anyway. Jojoba oil, although
nice.
It's supposed to be pronounced jojoba.
My saponifier is showing off here.
That's right, a little bit.
He's going to the verbiage.
She did a great job with the packaging. I guess is how I put it. It was interesting. You know, you learn an awful lot about printing and packaging that you probably didn't want to know about in the process, so it's pretty cool.
Hey, John, I have a question for him.
Yeah?
I'm just curious. Did you just, go into this and do it as you went, or did you actually have a formal business plan?
Well, I had a plan, but I pretty much threw that plan away. pretty soon into the process. I'm a strong believer, and one of my these are. Yeah, I won't charge you for this. It is a pearl of wisdom, but I won't charge it.
Yeah, that's his last question. I didn't mean to steal that.
No, no.
It's all right. I can take two.
That's right. It's, you got to take what opportunity is presented to you. And this was the opportunity that was presented to us to start. And so we're chasing that down.
Opportunity in terms of these bar
soaps is kind of the start. You know, my original plan was to start with detergent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
Was going to start with the detergent. I said, when we started getting into it, the bar soap kind of presented a more sensible way to get the business off the ground.
And Marlis, you've been making the detergent stuff, like homemade stuff, for years, right?
Yeah, it's been a few years. And I've just enjoyed doing it. And when Brad and his chemistry background took over, I don't think I've made soap in a while. But
he's like, this is awesome, man.
Yeah, he loved
it. He's like, selling copier stuff's no fun anymore. That's right. You know, this whole world, give me some soap, and I'm a happy camper.
That's right.
That's right. I mean, one of the things, one of the things that I didn't mention why we got this soap stuff started, but in the last 12 years, I've sold ideas and PowerPoint slides. That was what I sold.
Yeah.
And it was really important to me to produce something tangible and sell that. Just some personal satisfaction in working your tail off to develop a product, have your wife package it up beautifully. And then being able to go out and convince somebody to put that in your store there's an immense amount of satisfaction when at the end of the day.
So what's been the piece of the story you think that has been most attractive to first? Let's talk about the storefronts.
I would tell you the immediate feedback when I cold call some stores taking it in there is, wow, look at this packaging. This is awesome. And so that I think is one of the great things. And the second, at least, it plays well here in the Atlanta area is that it's a small business. B, it's local.
Yeah.
C, it's family.
Yeah, yeah. Have you gotten much on the? I don't know this much about the soap piece, but are most kind of niche soaps biodegradable and environmentally friendly?
Yeah, they are. And so this is extremely fragmented market. Tons and tons and tons of moms and pops doing handmade soap and selling it at the local craft fair. What's different for us is that we planned from the beginning to make this a big brand and go national. So we've invested significantly in the packaging, making sure we were following all the FTC guidelines, putting barcodes, et cetera, on the soap such that we were ready to go day one to go national. That's a much different approach than you'll find most mom and pops taking as they make soap out of their basement. We've got a 1,800 square foot facility that we make this stuff in, and as I mentioned earlier, you got to be able to pass muster from some of these big guys coming to inspect you and to make sure you're legit, and we're ready to do that.
Yeah. So the packaging and the professional side of things kind of takes you a step above your mom and pops, and then kind of below that, the big, more national change. It's the local piece of being in Atlanta, and obviously above the detergent side is the competitive edge of being the natural piece.
That's absolutely right. And we think we're going to have some pretty, we know we've got unique scents and blends and packaging and some unique advantages on the liquid soap side too when we start bringing that into the stores. So that's gotten great feedback from folks, particularly at a store in Dunwoody called the Copper Pig. They've been selling a bunch of the liquid for us there.
And the liquid hand stuff for the actual laundry and dishes and those kinds of things?
Sorry, I should have been clearer. So for the liquid body and hand soap that folks use it, you know, at the kitchen sink, in the bathroom, or in the shower.
Okay. So that's all on the market now, along with the regular soaps. The detergent stuff is not yet.
Detergent stuff we are selling via the website. And also via this kind of Charles Chips delivery model. We don't have the detergent on any store shelves yet.
Okay, all right. And Marlis, what's next for you with the marketing and the branding on the branding side of things? What are you looking forward to next?
Well, we are participating in a farmers market in Highlands, North Carolina. So we've been developing sort of our image with our booth, and which is a good first step for larger trade shows that we will eventually be participating in, and possibly in the show coming up here in Atlanta in January at the America's Mart. So that's a next focus. We're always focusing on our website and then just new products. Brad's been sort of testing a lotion that I think we'll probably come up with a line of those fairly soon. And really one of the great things about this product line is you can add to it, and there are so many products that go with it. And and we have our, you know, identity created, we have our design elements, so it makes it easy to quickly make those next steps and to develop the packaging and the new lines that, you know, come up. So we're excited about some of the new things. I mean, we're every day probably, hey, let's do this. Like, oh, we should try this. And I think last week Brad was trying to squeeze in time to test some more lotion, you know, formulas. And so it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a very creative process, not just the design, the graphic design side of it, but the product development. So it's enjoyable.
Yeah, and to kind of follow on to that, one of the things is a business guy, not really focusing too much on product development prior to this, I didn't know there was a such thing as a color palette and a, you know, typeface and, you know, all this stuff.
Font size.
Yeah, like what is it? You know, what is going on here? But but that was, you know, as Marlis mentioned, she spent a tremendous amount of time getting that established, such that when we want to add new stuff going forward, you can do it in a probably a tenth of the time that it would take otherwise to design this. So that was a pretty thoughtful approach that she took.
And another product that I think we'll probably be developing soon as well is the dog and pet line, the shampoos. And we're already talking about the packaging for that.
You guys need your own store.
Yeah.
I'd start developing your own store with all these products.
I'd like for you to make my dog smell better. That would be
great. That would be excellent.
Well, hey, John, I have one more question for
him. Yeah.
I noticed you were talking about going into a hotel, selling to the hotels. Now, that means you've got to make bazillions. What's the challenges in going from a small manufacturing facility, you know, 1,800 square feet? Well, if you're going to start selling to a hotel chain, what do you have to do? How do you make a bazillion of these soap bars?
Well, you get a cutter that cuts more than 12 bars at one time to start. No, I think you've identified a real challenge for us, which is managing expansion appropriately. And so what we're going to try to do in that segment is actually build into some of the smaller chains as we get started, and manage our growth that way. And you know, the key challenge is, how do you keep it handcrafted, handmade, keep it true to its roots, which is being good stuff, you know, stuff that's good for you and stuff that's good for the environment. I'm not going to cheat that. I'm going to stay to it. And so it might cost me a little more, in my expansion. I can't immediately go buy the biggest machine because, well, I can't use any really big machines. I got to just add some folks that love making soap, love making sure they're kind of following exacting processes and measurements, et cetera, and expand it that way. So I just effectively add another line. I don't get a lot of kind of scale advantage in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And this transition from corporate America 9 months ago to kind of this entrepreneurial, have your own business, lose all your benefits, lose your paycheck, lose everything else. Okay, I know, elephant in the room here.
Thanks for reminding my wife about that. Okay. She reminds me plenty.
18-month-old daughter and a puppy.
Yes.
Right? I know on a lot of people's minds are how do you take that leap of faith? How do you prepare yourself to do that and move forward in the position that you're in?
Maybe you want to take a shot at this, honey. In all seriousness, one, it's knowing that your partner, supports you 100% doing that. And so Marlis being very supportive, of saying, if this is what you want to do, do it. You'll regret not trying it. So go for it. I don't want you moping around the house saying, you coulda, woulda, shoulda. And so I think that's the number one piece. Number two is actually changing your lifestyle a little bit. So some of the things we used to do, we're not doing right now. So you got to be willing to sacrifice a little to do that. And then third, we've got a very supportive family here in Atlanta that, come help us, watch the baby, watch the dog, do what they need to do to help us find time to make soap and sell it and deliver it and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
agreed. No, I would agree with all of that. And I think when it's your business and it's just us doing this, you want to put, all of your heart into it, and you don't mind spending weekends working on something. And, we want it to be successful. And I think that's one of the key factors. If you're starting your own business, you have to, go into it knowing that it's going to take, it's not just a 9-to-5 job. It's going to take all of your time. So definitely having family close has helped us tremendously. And we even occasionally this summer, our niece, before school started, would come over to hang out with us. And I think she was thrilled to death to open up the boxes and put the soap in. She thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And we're like, wow.
I thought of it as
free labor. This is
free labor. Right. But then we're like, 3 years from now, she's not going to think this is so fun.
Right.
But no.
You got to get those preschoolers in there.
That's right.
Dexterity, the Montessori schools, man. The dexterity thing. Here you go, guys.
Get them
on the line.
Sample stuff. And that is actually one of the things we're doing is trying to talk to a few schools in Decatur to actually go in and kind of participate in some of their science programs and get in with the PTA and go get kids making soap hands-on, because we've the few that have come over to the soap factory, which Catherine, our 7-year-old, 8-year-old niece, named aptly for us.
Yeah.
The kids love messing with the soap, coming over and making it. And so I'm hoping to take that experience into a few schools and help folks, appreciate that science is practical. I'm a big believer in science with my background, and I think my mom had a lot to do with that. She was a chemistry teacher. I won't date her, but she was a chemistry teacher a while ago.
Hi, Mom. All right, so let's wrap up with a final question, which is your pearl of wisdom. So I'm going to start with Marlis on that one, because I think we got a hint of one already from Brad. So Marlis, your pearl of wisdom to the listeners.
Well, I guess... just if you're starting your own business, kind of as we were just touching on, I think you have to not only be excited about it and know it's what you want to do, but know that it does take sacrifices and it takes time. And, even though it sounds, I don't know if glamorous is the right word, because it's really not, but
owning your own business, right?
It's an appealing concept, but it's you. And, I think just being aware that, you have to be ready to put in the extra hours and to really, put in the time and effort to make it happen. And and we've enjoyed doing that, but it is a lifestyle change. So that's been, probably the biggest challenge. But I think just knowing that, that would be my pearl of wisdom,
Be prepared.
Be prepared. Yeah. Even though, I think you can tell yourself that, but It is very rewarding, as Brad said earlier. It's very satisfying to have your own product and to be able to sell it. And when people get excited and you hear great feedback, but it's hard work, but it's worth it. It's worth
good.
It.
Good, Brad.
Well, I kind of snuck one in earlier already.
You're allowed to have two.
Yeah, take opportunity when it's presented to you. A second one, and I think entrepreneurs sometimes might have a difficult time with this, is pay for outside advice. Pay people that are better at things than you are, that you don't know anything about. One is getting some help breaking into kind of relationship and client circles that you've got no contacts or experience with. I'm getting some help in the hotel segment from a gentleman there that's really helping me out. I would have never had any success breaking in there without Paul's help. So pay for advice. Take it.
Follow what you pay for.
That's right.
All right. Well, that's great stuff, guys. If somebody wants to get in touch with you or try some of this amazing smelling soap, which I'm not a big soap smelling guy.
Well, you really look like it now.
I am. Can't get enough. What's the best way to get in contact with you guys?
Yeah, so a couple of things. You can find us on the web at www.risasoap.com, or you can always email me at brad@smilesoaps.com, or call me 404-539-5458.
All right. Well, thank you guys for taking your time. I appreciate you coming out, and maybe we can check in with you in 6 months or so and see how things are going.
That would be great. Maybe we could put you in a big studio in our big new factory that we're going to need to sell stuff to all these hotels, like Stone said.
There we go. We will have our portable radio show, which is actually on wheels, ready to go.
All right. Hey, guys, thank you very much for the opportunity. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Certainly our pleasure. And to our listeners, we appreciate your time and your attention. Hopefully you've gained some insight from today's show. And until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. We'll be right back.